Well, the past couple of weeks, I have been sharing with you and preaching to you about the kingdom of God. And today, I want to kind of continue in that, but we're going to step into kind of a different idea or thinking of the kingdom and living a kingdom, and that is living in the attitude of the kingdom of God. And I want to start by reading to you from 1 Thessalonians 5, and I'm going to read to you the whole chapter, so you're going to have to bear with me, and or get the scriptures out and read along with me. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates we don't need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so this day should not surprise you like a thief. You are children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like the others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up as in fact you are doing. Now, we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecy with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good and reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. And I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Now, I want to highlight a few things in that chapter. And first of all, it says, brothers and sisters, you're not in darkness. You know, we could say these are the dark days, these are end times, we can go all that kind of way. We don't know. But the truth is, no matter how dark the days are, you are not in darkness. You are a child of light and a child of day because you're a child of the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, there is no darkness. And so we have to remember that we have insight. We have Holy Spirit showing us and teaching us and guiding us unto the things of the Lord, the things that are coming. He's not leaving us, it's going to be a surprise. We may not know the day or the time, but we know the move of the Spirit, and we sense it in our hearts. Another point here is the fact that God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through Jesus Christ. We are not objects of God's wrath. We are new creations in Jesus. We are part of the kingdom. We've got new kingdom DNA. And so we need to remember that Jesus suffered that wrath for us and took that upon him. Now, these are all good news things. It goes on to say, don't quench the spirit. And one of the things that we've had a tendency to do, and that is not really allow Holy Spirit to speak through us. You know, there was a day and time where almost every week here in church, someone would have a word from the Lord and would stand up and share. And we got encouraged and excited about it. But somehow we have let that not come to the forefront any longer. I think a lot of people are fearful. Some of us have never done that before. And I want to encourage you that you hear from the Holy Spirit. You hear from God, and every member of the body of Christ has a powerful gift to give to the church. And that is in the prophetic word as well. So don't quench Holy Spirit. Don't hold back if you feel something and that nudging within your heart. We want to speak out and encourage, and especially as the days get darker, we need to be encouraged in one another. It says, don't treat prophecy with contempt. Boy, that's one of those things. If you know, sometimes people are just like, oh, that's just somebody making something up or that type of thing. It isn't God. God gives us prophetic words. He gives them through people. He can give them through you, through me, through anybody. And we can't treat them with contempt, but we can discern them. And we need to learn to listen to the voice and listen to the discerning of the Holy Spirit, because we don't want to miss out on the prophetic words the Lord is coming our way, sending our way. And I want to just, with that, just speak in regards to prophetic words. They are to encourage and build up the body. That's what they're for. And so right there is a discerning test. Anyhow, that scripture goes on to say, don't treat prophecy with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good, and then disregard what is not. The next part I want to point out in that scripture I want to bring out is, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. God has set you apart. Again, you are children of the day, children of the light, children of the kingdom of God. You are being sanctified and set apart from this world and this system. You're a part of a new kingdom. And he wants to sanctify you through and through. So it's not just a little tap on the head and, hey, you're sanctified. He wants it to be a part of who you are. You know that you are this this person set apart in the kingdom of God to do the kingdom work. And then it goes on to say, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love how it wraps it up here. It says, so the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. I think that that's one of the most amazing things, is the fact that Jesus himself is the one who's going to keep us blameless. And when we just keep trusting in him and knowing what he's done and his finished work, we can just rejoice and get excited about what we've just read in this passage of scripture. But I want to focus in right now on 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18 there. And it says this, rejoice always. Oops, let me just get that up there. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So listen to what the will of God is for you in Christ Jesus. Especially if you've ever wondered, what is the will of God for me? To rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Now I want you to think about this for just a minute. Remember when Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray? They said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And what he said to them was, this is how you need to pray. He starts off with, our Father. Now, that was a really interesting thing to say. First of all, our. So Jesus wasn't saying he's just my Father. He's talking about he's our Father. We're in a part, we're a part of a family. And then Jesus said, hallowed be your name. And that is in reference to the idea of in the Ten Commandments, where it says, honor your mother, your father and your mother. Jesus right there is saying, our Father, and we're going to honor him. We're going to hallow his name. and recognize, honor God, honor Father. And so there's an important attitude and thing that comes from the kingdom right there, and that is the kingdom of God is a place of honor. It's not only honoring God, but we honor one another. We honor Jesus. We honor those that don't know the Lord yet. And I don't mean we honor them and say what they, if they're into sinful stuff that we recognize as good. No, but we honor them as people of value and worth. And so that one of the things about the kingdom of God is the place of honor. But as Jesus is also sharing this, this prayer with them, he says, your kingdom come. Father, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, we just read a scripture there about what God's will is. What is your will, Father? God's will is that we rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. That's an attitude of the kingdom of God. So why do we want to look at this? Why do we want our attitude to be kingdom attitude? Because just like God, we are creative beings. We are his hands and feet here upon the earth. We take from kingdom and bring it here on earth. When God spoke, he created. His words had energy, and if he spoke them into the space, the atmosphere changed, things changed. And as we take on the kingdom attitude, the kingdom words, our words create as well. I'm going to just get you to mute me for a sec, Rebecca, because I'm going to cough. Sorry, everyone. Okay. I think I'm back with you now. Sorry about that. Start getting a little excited and the croakies come. So our attitude and our words create energy and space where we are. We want to create kingdom here. We've got the kingdom of God within us. We've got the Lord Jesus Christ, our Holy Spirit and Father within us. We carry kingdom, and our kingdom words have power to create. Now, the truth is, I'm sure all of us has been in this situation where you've walked into a room and nobody has said a thing, but you just sense that something is up. There's something in the atmosphere. And in fact, if it's a negative thing, I'm sure you've heard this quote, you could have cut the air with a knife. There's a heaviness. How about the saying that if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy? What does that mean? There's an atmosphere in the air when we haven't fallen in line with what mama's expectations are, or you know, asked you to do something and you didn't. All of a sudden, she doesn't have to say a word. And the whole atmosphere changes. Because we bring with us the energy that we carry within. And we carry kingdom energy. We carry the kingdom of God, the word of God. Now, how about this? Have you ever walked into a room or have been drawn into a room where you hear children laughing and giggling? And, you know, somebody's getting a belly tickle or whatever, and the atmosphere in the room is a totally different thing. In fact, I could say the same thing about adults. If you walk into a room where a whole bunch of adults are laughing and tears are rolling down their face, the atmosphere of the room is something totally different because we bring with our words and our attitudes an energy. And so, so here is God is saying, so what kind of energy do I want you to bring from the kingdom? What kind of atmospheric change do I want you to bring? Come and change the atmosphere in the world. Come and change the atmosphere even in the household that you live in. He says, this is my will. Rejoice always. Rejoicing and celebrating. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Sorry, I got a just clear my throat here. God's will is that, again, that we take from the kingdom and create an atmosphere here on earth. You know, we've been letting the devil and the demonic system create the atmosphere here on earth. But we have the opportunity, and we need to understand that, to change things. Rejoice always. It's not just about a little bit of joy, but it's exceeding joy. It's exceedingly glad. And again, how do we do that when we're feeling bad and feeling down, maybe even feeling sick? I love from Nehemiah 8:10. It says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." And the story in Nehemiah, well, I'll read the whole scripture to you. It says, Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to the Lord. Don't grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Now, they realized they hadn't been following the law that God had given Moses, and they had gotten into weeping, but the Lord said, "No, this is not what I want you to do. I want you to celebrate. I want joyful atmosphere. I want joyful celebrations, not grief, not grieving." He wants kingdom to start being something that was experienced, not the wrong that had happened from the past. We may not always feel like rejoicing, but if we go back again and take a quick look at all of those things that we have been given in Christ in that first part of Thessalonians there, man, just to meditate on one or two things, that we're not in darkness, that we are children of light, children of the day, that we're not appointed to suffer, that we have salvation. We have a Holy Spirit that is willing to lead us and guide us and teach us prophetic words to encourage. And the Lord God himself wants to sanctify us through and through. And Jesus is the one who's going to get us, if I can put it this way, across the finish line blameless. What do we have to sit and grieve about? If you are staring at the news headlines more often than you're staring at the Word of God, can I encourage you with something? Can I encourage you to shut off the TV or the radio or whatever and turn on to the Word of God, where there is encouraging truth? Because it's God's will that you rejoice always. Now, it says, the next part of that was to pray continually. And man, can we get messed up by that. We quite often just see that praying continually, meaning I have to be in a corner of a quiet, you know, my quiet space of the Lord with the Lord, with my Bible open and my hands crossed and my eyes closed. And that's what it means by praying continually, to pray. And it's really not. Praying continually is really just about recognizing the presence of the Lord in you and with you. It's a continuous awareness of God speaking and telling you things. And not always is it some deep spiritual truth. Sometimes it's just an encouraging word, some hope, reminding you that the kingdom is in you, that he's with you. It's not always about a long and involved prayer. In fact, most of the time, it really just is acknowledging the presence of the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit within you. I want to share with you a little story in regards to prayer. And the story is called, I'll tell you the name of the story at the end. And I will. Oops, sorry, I forgot to forward my, okay. They walked in tandem, each of the 93 students filing into the already crowded auditorium. With maroon gowns flowing and a traditional cap, they looked almost as grown up as they felt. Dad swallowed hard behind those broad smiles, and moms freely brushed away tears. This class would not be praying during the commencement. Not by choice, but because of a recent court ruling prohibiting it. The principal and several students were very careful to stay within the guidelines allowed by the ruling. They gave inspirational and challenging speeches, but no one mentioned the divine guidance and no one asked for blessings on the grads and on their families. The speeches were nice, but they were routine until the final speech received a standing ovation. A solitary student walked proudly to the microphone. He stood still, and for just a moment, and then it happened. All 92 students, every single one of them, suddenly sneezed. The student on the stage simply looked at the audience and said, "God bless you, each and every one," and walked off the stage. The audience exploded into applause, and the graduating class found a unique way to invoke God's blessing on every one of their futures. And without the court's approval. Now I share that with you because it's a simple prayer. Just acknowledging God and the power and the presence of his name. Give me a sec here. Involved. It's a way of praying continuously, just acknowledging God and the power of his name. The power of prayer and a simple blessing. Pray continuously. And then our scripture today goes on to say, give thanks in all circumstances. Boy, this can be a tough one. I believe, though, that a heart that always practices thankfulness will find it easier to be thankful in tough circumstances. One thing about the kingdom is it is a kingdom of honor. Thankfulness is always about honoring each other. Words of thankfulness create an atmosphere that is peaceable and full of blessing, like that simple prayer. I was chatting with some friends a while back, and they were talking about a stupid argument that they had gotten into. It was all about saying thank you. One spouse said to the other, "You never say thank you for anything." And the response was, "Well, I shouldn't have to. You know I'm thankful." Well, I want you to think about what the atmosphere was like in that moment. I'm pretty sure it was one you could cut with a knife. It's sort of like the idea of one spouse saying to another, "You never say you love me." And the response being, "Well, you know I love you. I shouldn't have to say it." It isn't that you need to say it or have to say it. It's that what are you wanting to create? I love you and thank yous create an atmosphere. It creates an atmosphere of honor, blessing, value. And we forget how powerful our words are. We forget that we're created in our Father's image. We forget that we have been asked by the Lord to rejoice, to pray, and to be thankful, not only to him, but to one another. He has gifted us with each other, and sometimes we forget to see that. Our words can bring such power and such truth. And when we say things simply like thank you, we can create an atmosphere that is so peaceable. I think that's one of the things, I don't know, all of us, at least when I was growing up, were taught to say please and thank you. And that's something that seems to have drifted away a bit. Not all children are taught to say thank you. Sometimes we think, well, it's just routine. It's not genuine. But it's a practice and a habit that we each need to get into and stay in it. Because a thankful heart that practices thankfulness will be able to be thankful in all circumstances, good or bad. Our words are powerful. And you are born again of creative stuff. You create atmospheres and you bring the kingdom through your words. This is why it's God's will that you rejoice always, that you pray continually, and that you give thanks in all circumstances. Because with kingdom attitude, things change. Well, I'm going to wrap up the message, I think. I just want to say happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Happy Turkey Day. I hope you get opportunities to meet with your family and have just a wonderful Thanksgiving celebration. Remember to rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. Amen. All right. Well, I'm going to pray for us all as we head into this weekend. Father, first of all, I want to lift up all the names of those who are suffering with sickness and illness and disease. I just ask you, Father, to lay your hands of your Holy Spirit upon them. May they sense your presence, your healing power, that you've never left them or forsaken them. I pray for strength and wholeness, Lord. And I pray for encouragement, Lord, that they'd feel lifted up. Thank you, Lord. You are so good and so faithful to us. Lord, I also pray for this weekend as some are traveling. Lord, bless them in their travels. Keep them safe. And Father, those who are able to meet together with family, just bless that time. May it be a time of honor, not only honoring you, but honoring one another. May the atmosphere they create be wonderful. Bring the kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.